Leaky Ranking Member Arrington. House Joint Resolution 131 is simply a resolution that would place a constitutional amendment on the ballot, expanding Florida's already existing recall statutes to include county officers in every Florida county. You see, under current Florida law, only municipal and charter county officers can face a voter recall.
Hey, this is one of our area's three state representatives presenting on House Joint Resolution 131, which would allow for the recall of county commissioners across all 67 of Florida's counties, as opposed to right now, only the charter counties, the 20 of them, have this recall provision, and the rest of us, the 47 of us, do not have the ability to recall county commissioners. It was a good presentation. By the way, this is kind of funny. Joel Rubman, I love it when somebody who's new at something, you know, and he's new at being a state representative, obviously. I love when somebody who's new at something recognizes that they're new at something and takes it in stride and makes jokes about it.
HJR 131, recall of county officers and commissioners by Representative Rudman. Representative Rudman, you are recognized to explain HJR 131.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to be clear, this is not my first presentation. It's actually my third.
I love it.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I love it. So, yeah, so you've got this provision that in 20 of the in a charter county, if you want to recall a county commissioner, and it's always for the process here is elaborate and laborious, okay? You have to get a set of signatures. It's a lot. And then you have to get three times as many. It's also a lot in like 60 days, okay? First in 30, then in 60 days total. And then you have to put it on the ballot. You know, they have to be certified. You have to, there's paying for that is a challenge. Then it has to get put on the ballot for an election, and then you have to vote on it. And it has to be for cause. Like, it's malfeasance, misfeasance, criminal behavior, okay? You know, malfeasance is, I always get these backwards, but malfeasance is when you deliberately misuse money. Misfeasance is when you simply used it incorrectly, like sort of malfeasance is knowingly and misfeasance is unintentionally, I think is the idea. Anyway, so, you know, you don't like somebody's personality, you don't like their politics, you don't like their, you know, their accent or the way they misspeak. None of that works, okay? None of that is the issue. The issue is very specific problems that are really, really serious. So it's interesting to me that I happen to see that some of the locals who have, you know, this came out of Santa Rosa County. This recall Florida came out of some residents in Santa Rosa County, and some of those residents showed up and they talked, including Sherry Chapman.
I have voted every vote, every election for 50 years, have not missed the first one. I have not missed shaking the hand, speaking with every candidate in every race in order to take my job serious. Even though this has happened, believe it or not, in our county, I missed it. What can I say? I never thought we needed to do background checks. I never thought we needed to do background checks in other states. It is sad to think that we have the inability to recall a politician that does not need to be sitting where they're sitting.
And again, you might think, like, who needs to do that? I mean, because the Pitchfork Posse, of which she is the founding member, has, you know, they're out to get Sam Parker now. They got Dave Peach out. I still don't really understand how. But, you know, they're easily provoked, okay? But it's not just we disagree with the politics, right?
What would you do if I told you that we had an elected official that came from another state, had his criminal records reduced from felony to misdemeanor, had those criminal records frozen, changed his name, and moved to Florida? And holds a seat. We can't do anything about it. Why can we not do anything about it? Because we're lucky enough to live in 47 counties that don't get that ability.
That's the problem, is you got no recourse other than, dear Mr. Governor, please help. And that's, I hate to sound like an 8-year-old, but that's not fair. It's not fair that 47 non-charter counties have no ability for the people to recall a county commissioner. Now, what I thought was interesting is when they got all the way down to the end, I really, really appreciated Joel Rudman's close on this topic, and I'll play that for you in a second. But I wanted to, because he basically said, look, it's the First Amendment. It's the petition of the government for redress of grievances. That's what this is. And they've gone through this process, and they've put forward this bill, and here we are. We should vote on it. And just to kind of make the point a little bit more vivid, some of the examples that came up in the committee were like unbelievable. This is Dr. Paul Reinhart testifying, not a representative.
In Citrus, I helped expose a commissioner that had a homesteaded house in Georgia and an uninhabited tool shed in Citrus County as his residence, and didn't even live in his district, and didn't even live in Florida. Every avenue was sought to remove him with all our government agencies. He recently retired with a state pension illegally down the road in Wiggum, Georgia. Not even the FDLE cared. The public was outraged. And like I said, Citrus County is not a charter county. We couldn't remove them.
Here's another one from Representative Jeff Holcomb.
And if you'll indulge me for a few minutes in a story I'd like to tell. I was a county commissioner for 8 years, and I completely support this bill. So here's my story. While I was in office in 2015, the chairman of our county commission at the time became publicized that he was under investigation by the FDLE. He was under investigation for prostitution. It appeared from that investigation that his modus operandi was to befriend a stripper and engage her in prostitution. He was not actually charged from that incident, so there was nothing for the citizens of Hernando County to do. They couldn't do anything. As a county commissioner that sat with him, I asked him to step down as our chairman, and he didn't do it, and two other commissioners actually fully supported him. It was really only left to the governor to do, so... And seeing that there are no charges actually came from that investigation, he stayed in office. But that's not the end of the story. 2018, he was charged on a very similar incident for a domestic issue at his house, and he was charged with a house of prostitution. He would basically engage with this lady and her husband in his home, and they would have to engage in those acts for them to continue staying in his residence. So at that point in time, the Board of County Commissioners did formally ask him to resign. The party asked him to resign. And thankfully, for the sake of the citizens, he actually did resign. But there was nothing the citizens of the county could do. There was nothing that the Board of County Commissioners could do other than request his resignation. And thankfully, he did resign, so the governor didn't have to step in. And he actually ended up pleading out to the charges to a misdemeanor, and he ran for election in 2020 again and got 12% of the vote. So fully support this recall.
And he could run for re-election, and he didn't have to resign. He did, but he didn't have to. I mean, that's insane. And if you're a citizen in that county and you're watching all this thinking, what do we have to do to get rid of him? Well, there's a process. It's not easy. It's very hard to do, but people do get recalled, okay, in the state of Florida. It has happened, okay? But only in charter counties, and that's the point. Now, Sam Killebrew, I don't have any idea what's going on inside the head of Sam Killebrew. He's a Republican representative, and here's what he said:
any county can become a charter county. We're a charter county in Polk, so if it's that important,
must be nice.
Then you should become a charter county. The other commissioners should be able to hopefully keep a bad actor in check. That's just my opinion.
So his argument is, well, I mean, y'all can just become a charter county, which is also hard and time consuming. Why not make it available to have recall for all the counties? I mean, that's such a callous response. And then the other one, well, I mean, even if you got one criminal on the commission, big deal. The other three can hold him in check. Are you kidding? Like, what in the world? I don't know Sam Killebrew. He's a name that I've kind of heard, but I can't tell you a lot about him. Like some of these folks, I know them fairly well from hearing them argue in the past. I don't have that with him. But I mean, like, is his brother a corrupt? You know, like, I mean, I'm trying to, like, what's the thing he's trying to defend? It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, somebody he knows is about to be in trouble. Like, it's weird. Also, because this is a slam dunk. I mean, it went 14-0, I think, in its first committee. No, 18-0 in its first House committee. It's going to go, like, only he's going to be the only dissenting vote in this committee. Like, I don't know what he's actually voting against here. It's bizarre. But like I said, I thought that Rep. Rudman gave a really good close.
To me, this resolution is all about equality, fairness, home rule, and accountability. What we have here today, in my opinion, is the finest example of democracy that I can think of. We have residents from my home county who were seeking to exercise their First Amendment right to have a redress of their grievances. And when they found that they had no way to petition, you know what they did? They went home and they began reading the Florida Constitution and the Florida statutes. Let me tell you, as a state representative, that's no easy task to do. And they were shocked, just as the chairman said, they were shocked to discover that citizens in charter counties had this right of recall, something that non-charter counties did not have. So once again, this resolution is simply about fairness. It's about treating every citizen in the state of Florida equally. A citizen's First Amendment rights should not depend on the county in which they reside. To me, it's as simple as that, and I hope you will agree and support this resolution.
Amen. Fantastic argument. Exactly right on target. As I said, it passed its second committee. It's into its first committee in the Senate, on the Senate side, and it's got one more committee to go on the House side. So this is looking good to get on the ballot. And by the way, kudos to the locals who advocated for this, and Carmen Reynolds, who is a local who we had on the show to talk about this once upon a time, and she is fantastic. And, you know, this is one that came out of here. So good for local people really taking charge on an issue. 522 on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about selling your home, Christina Leavenworth, talk to her. Find out what she can do. Listen, selling more than 200 houses a year is pretty good, right? And having only been in the business about 6 years, she now teaches other realtors how to do. You're like, she's the realtor trainer. And you can have access to her because she knows what the market's doing. She knows what your house is worth. She knows what's the best price to set it at, what she can expect to get for it, you know, how long it'll take, if there are any little things you can do to change it to maybe make, you know, more buyers interested. I mean, all of that stuff, okay? And there's just kind of like this passion she has. Every home she sells, she thinks of as her house. I know because I've talked to her about it. Like, she takes it personally. She's really eager to get homes sold for great prices. And it shows, selling homes, even now in this market, in a day. Okay, homes getting in a day, and sometimes getting offers above list price. You know, that does happen still, if you know what you're doing. Christina Leavenworth and her folks at Leavenworth Realty, they know what they're doing. 723-9158, 723-9158.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new place.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
If you haven't been to Home Outlet, you're missing out on the best value on kitchens, baths, floors, and more. You could be saving big on your kitchen remodel with in-stock cabinets starting at $78 per linear foot and in-stock countertops starting at just $63. And with the guaranteed lowest price, you can be sure you're getting the best value for your project dollar. Visit us in-store or shop online for in-store pickup at homeoutlet.com.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Wherever you are, you can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620.
Frosted Lucky Charms!
Magically delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Better be wearing green. That's all I got to say. Wear green or get pink. Uh-oh. David? Well, that is olive drab. Whatever. Gracie's in her full bright lime green. It's fantastic. All right. Oh, by the way, I did misspeak a moment ago. It wasn't Carmen. I mean, I know Carmen Reynolds. You know, she's fantastic. But we actually had Chance John Meyer on for Recall Florida. I was thinking about that when I said, I'm like, I think we didn't actually have her on. We had somebody else on. 437-1620, 437-1620. David Wayne wearing the marginally green shirt in the newsroom with our headlines on this St. Patrick's Day.
It's as green as I own. Come on now.
That's not a defense. That's like, you know, showing up at, you know, coronation and being like, I mean, this is the best tuxedo t-shirt I own.
I suppose I'm going to have to work on my St. Patrick's Day game.
I will say I had to borrow this from my roommate because I said I will not be the butt of the joke today. I have to have a real green
Nothing
sweater.
Like instilling a little fear in the producer.
Well, I'm glad I could be the butt of the joke for you today. The Senate advancing a bill to repeal the legal authorization that was used to invade Iraq. The bill would repeal the authorization for the use of military force for the 2003 invasion, as well as the 1991 authorization for the first Gulf War. A vote for that, the passage of that bill could come as soon as next week to coincide with the 20th anniversary of the Iraq War. East Palestine, Ohio, got a visit yesterday by the CEO of Norfolk Southern Railroad. Alan Shaw was there. He apparently drank a glass of tap water at the event. And said they'll continue to stand with the community. And Michael Jordan might be preparing to sell the Charlotte Hornets. ESPN reporting that he's engaging in talks to sell a majority stake in the franchise to a group led by Hornets minority owner Gabe Plotkin and Atlanta Hawks minority owner Rick Schnall. But no deal apparently is imminent.
All right, very good. Thanks so much, David. 527 on News Radio 92.3. Was I going to ask you something? I can't remember now. That doesn't matter. But if you're watching the tournament yesterday, well, it could be better if you were an Arizona fan or picker. Number two Wildcats get upset huge in the first round. The president had them to go all the way. I only had them in the Final Four. I was counting on them to beat Alabama. That was a bummer. And I also did. I always vote with my heart in the bracket. I always pick for Auburn to go farther than they should, and I always pick for Illinois to go farther than they should. And sure enough, I had Illinois in the Final Four. Irrationally, I know, because they got to get past Kansas. But that was really one of those, like, I'm not going to pick my alma mater to lose. And I am definitely not going to pick my alma mater to lose against Kansas, who stole our coach 500 years ago and has been amazing ever since. And I hate Bill Self and I hate Kansas for it. But, you know, they're not going to be able to win that game because they didn't even beat Arkansas. So, suey pig, there you go. But if you were a Virginia fan, this is a game where, like, Furman was trailing the whole game, and then right towards the end, they got within 2 points with 12 seconds to go. Virginia has the ball. All they got to do is inbound it and get it, like, down the court and, you know, and wait to get fouled. But
what a defensive force he can be. Now, for Virginia, you got to take care of the ball against the pressure you're going to see is the most important thing here. Get it in cleanly. Handle the
guys stuck in the corner
that you're going to get.
Heaves it.
Make free throws if you force them to foul.
The Cavaliers are playing with four guards, and the four guards out there, along with Shedrick, are their best free throw shooters.
Clark in a straight jacket. Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. Hing, Pickies.
Oh, my God. So what happened is the guy got pinned in the corner, heaved it up to midcourt, picked off by Furman, thrown in for a three, and in. 2.2 seconds to go, and Furman takes their first lead as a 13 seed. Unbelievable. And of course, you know, like, the commentators are going crazy. It's the first time in 43 years Furman has even been in the tournament, and they beat the number four seed Virginia. I mean, it was fun. Like, I'm sitting there on my couch. I'm fast forwarding through this game because it's boring. That's why I watch the games a lot, is boring, 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 up by 10, up by 10, up by 10. Oh, it's a little closer. Slow down. Oh, it's a little closer. Up, slow down. Whoa, whoa. What? What? Like, oh, my God. So the Arizona game did not have that kind of an oh, my God moment for the ending because Princeton was ahead a little bit. But still, that's why you watch the tournament, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen. Happy St. Patrick's Day to y'all. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
An Ensley woman wants to get her execution thrown out. We'll have more on that right after this update from Fox News.
Chris Foster. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the banking system remains sound. She's helped work out a deal for 11 big banks to help a mid-sized one with $30 billion in deposits.
First Republic Bank being dealt $1 to $5 billion from Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, again totaling $30 billion. This was an effort to stabilize the market and pull First Republic from uncertainty.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff. The Senate advances a bill to end the still active war authorizations against Iraq, now a strategic partner.
The United States Senate begins the process of repealing the Iraq AUMFs. The ones of 2002 and 1991, putting the final remnants of those conflicts squarely behind us.
A final Senate vote could come next week, just after the 20th anniversary of the start of the Iraq War, with a House vote after that. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is cloudy, 69 degrees. Right now in Pensacola. An Ensley woman currently sitting on death row is going to be pleading her case to try and get her execution thrown out next week. Tina Brown, her teenage daughter, and a neighbor were all convicted in a 2010 murder of 19-year-old Adriana Zimmerman. That girl was beaten with a crowbar, shocked with a stun gun, and set on fire. The attack stemmed from a dispute over a man. Brown's daughter, Brittany Miller, received a life sentence. Heather Lee testified against Brown, got a 25-year sentence. Brown was given the death sentence. She's now filed a motion claiming new evidence could prove she was not the ringleader in that crime. Her hearing set for next Wednesday here in Escambia County. A Foley man accused of impersonating a contractor and exploiting an elderly woman for more than $100,000. The Baldwin County Sheriff's Office says 36-year-old Joseph McTigret is charged with financial exploitation of the elderly. He allegedly represented himself as a licensed contractor to the woman, was hired to perform home renovations. Deputies say he wasn't licensed and couldn't legally obtain the permits needed to do that work. The woman apparently paid him more than $100,000. Deputies say the work was started, but it only damaged her home more than it was originally. McTigret now being held with no bond at the Baldwin County Jail. Well, that deadly workplace accident earlier this week in Cantonment has now been ruled an accident by the sheriff's office, but OSHA continues its investigation. OSHA so far hasn't confirmed any details of the investigation, but they do list guidelines on their website that workplaces are supposed to follow to prevent these types of workplace accidents. One of those is requiring an entry permit that includes identifying the hazards and the precautions taken before entering a confined space, such as a cement mixer. The city of Pensacola's Parks and Rec Department has been awarded a $1.7 million grant to support after-school programs at city community centers. That grant was awarded this week by the Escambia Children's Trust. The money will also allow the city to offer after-school programs at no cost to kids whose families qualify for free or reduced lunch and fund a full-time out-of-school time coordinator. The mother of a St. Louis teenager that fell to his death on the world's largest tower drop ride has now reached a settlement in a wrongful death lawsuit. Nikki Adad and her attorney earlier this week announced that settlement near Icon Park. That's where the 430-foot Orlando free fall ride is now being torn down.
My son took his last breath on this ride. It's heartbreaking, devastating. It's a feeling that I hope no parent will ever have to go through after this ride comes down.
And 14-year-old Tyree Sampson slipped out of his seat on that Orlando free fall ride at Icon Park last March. He fell 100 feet to his death. 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We're going to be seeing showers and thunderstorms as you go throughout the late morning into the afternoon hours. A few storms could be strong weather alert day because of the severe threat. High near 77 degrees for today with lows dropping near 45. Showers and thunderstorms will come to an end by the overnight period, and we're going to be seeing a much calmer day on Saturday. High near 55 Saturday afternoon with a 40% chance of a stray shower. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 42, and by Sunday, sunshine returns with a high near 56. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. 69, cloudy in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, and 68 in Milton right now. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. This is News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
I've been collecting watches since around 2018. Made my first big purchase thinking that was going to be my only watch. When you're looking at watches and you're doing them online, or if you're in the secondary market, it can be scary because there's a lot of fakes. And I really do focus in on coming in to an authorized dealer like Bray's for any of the Omega or Breitling purchases. They will let you try it on, take pictures, go home, think about it, and just really set your mind at ease.
Come visit us at Bray Jewelers.
Everyone understands that when you buy more, you should pay less. It's called a volume discount. Hi, this is Earl Ron, president of New South Window, and we would like to make and install your windows. New South offers volume discounts for homeowners. The more you buy, the more you save. Our discounts start at the fourth window, and from there, the savings grow. New South can do this because we own our factory, and that's the power of Factory Direct. Award-winning, energy-efficient windows that will save you money and protect your home. Our windows are made in Florida, for Florida homes, by Florida workers, and we guarantee them for life. Visit us at newsouthwindow.com.
Listen to Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade interview the latest newsmakers and cover the biggest national stories. Weekdays 11 to 1 on News Radio 92.3.
Trying to pull as much data as I can. Again, I like to speak objectively to make sure, you know, again, we all kind of, you know, anecdotally know because we hear about it there all the time. But, you know, there's been 200 calls there at that address the last 5 years. And remember, that address doesn't mean that's just the address. That's not the adjoining parking lot necessarily or across the street. And there's been 3 murders there in 5 years. Something has to be done. No doubt about it.
No doubt about it. Something has to be done. That's Mayor D.C. Reeves talking to us on Wednesday. And following up on that, that's, of course, about the used to be the Platinum Club. And it's been things before that, too. But it's, you know, now it's Club Climax. They're on Palafox. It's a continuous trouble spot, calls for service and 3 homicides in the last 5 years. And, you know, we've been talking about this a lot since the most recent one. Yesterday we talked to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I know and thinking about this and certainly in collaboration with and taking guidance from the mayor's office, but you tell me, how bad is it? What can be done? What should we be looking for as citizens? Because, you know, this situation just seems outrageous.
Well, like the mayor said, we've been there hundreds of times over the years. We've had more than one homicide there, 3, in fact, in the last 5 years. So it is a problem spot. But, you know, there are calls to close it, and you know, that may or may not work. I can tell you that since the Pelican's Nest has been closed, we've had 0 problems from that location. So, you know, that if you close one location, then folks will gather. Young folks will gather. That's what they do, and find someplace else. And we've seen lately in the news that sometimes that ends up being a short-term rental home. But young people are going to gather, and any time that happens, there's potential there for problems.
You know, I joked with the mayor, not so much a joke, you know, when, you know, the bulldozer can't come fast enough. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking at home, like, you know, what if a city bulldozer just sort of accidentally went off the road, you know, and kind of took care of the problem? But you raise a good point that, you know, the people who are the source of the problem will find a way to congregate somewhere and then create problems. But there's still value in trying to, you know, either displace or to control the environment that they're in. You tell me, I just don't know. Would higher police presence there, would if they hired off-duty police officers, I mean, would that make a difference? And, you know, because it seems like if we know that, like if we just, you know, squash this problem out, it's just going to move somewhere else. Well, okay, we know the problem is here. What can we do to make that a safer environment? Is that a feasible way to look at this?
Well, maybe, maybe not. You know, we have off-duty officers working all over the place in the city of Pensacola at bars and other venues. But, again, I bring back the Pelican's Nest. The night that the shooting happened there, there were five people struck, I believe, inside during that gunfire. We did have Pensacola police officers working in an off-duty capacity that night that were immediately on scene when this happened.
So having officers even on the scene is not always going to solve the problems they can still. It's frustrating to hear that, but I believe you. I mean, I know, you know, people are like that, unfortunately. You know, sort of the other question I have is, help me gauge, like, we hear this number, okay, 3 homicides in 5 years sounds outrageous, hundreds of calls in, you know, the same amount of time. Is that genuinely disproportionately higher than, let's say, other bars that operate in the area? Is it really that location that's uniquely problematic? Or if I compared the numbers to, for example, other bars, would I find something comparable?
No, you wouldn't. I can't think of another location in the city of Pensacola where we've had that many homicides at one location. So, there is a problem at that particular location, obviously.
Okay. Well, again, I mean, that's why I asked the question, because I didn't know the answer to that, and I wanted to be sure. We're talking to Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for PPD. I wanted to give you a chance just because this is something we also talked about with the mayor yesterday, but it's been a lot in the news. Just maybe to clarify for folks who don't know that PPD, what is your role or relationship to parking enforcement? Blue signs, regular street parking where no signs, or red signs? What is your involvement in any of that?
Good, positive public relations. So when people are frustrated downtown, you know, I work a lot downtown in an off-duty capacity while the detail's going on to redo the electrical infrastructure downtown. They walk up to my vehicle a lot with parking tickets complaining and not understanding why. In some lots, in private lots, they were just charged $100. And I explained to them that that's a private lot. And even the ones that are blue are for the city of Pensacola. The police department is not, we're not there to enforce that. The city has their own folks that do that in the blue lots. And the blue lots are quite a bit more inexpensive than the red ones. So we just have to educate and inform the public of our role there or lack thereof.
So we know red lots are totally private, not connected to y'all. Blue lots are city parking enforcement, not connected to y'all. What about street parking, other parking, generally speaking, metered parking, any of that kind of stuff that's not the blue lots? Do you guys have anything to do with any of that?
Well, if somebody is parked just like in a handicap zone in front of a fire hydrant, just completely someplace where they're not supposed to be parked, then we will address that situation.
Okay, but otherwise, if you get a ticket, it's not coming from PPD, so they're not the source. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Right, that's exactly right.
Perfect. That's what I wanted to hear, and it's useful because people don't know. They don't know which government official, which level of government, which government organization, which, you know, who controls what, and that's part of the confusion about parking and a lot of other things as well, and I'd always like to create clarity for people's minds about, you know, who runs what. Talking to Mike Wood, PIO for Pensacola Police Department. Mike Wood, the skate park is really coming along. I drove by there the other day and parked my car and stood up on the roof of the car so I could get video over the security fence because what I do, and it's really coming along. Like, there's, you know, last time I saw it was just dirt holes, and now it's all concrete, and it looks like we're getting ready to, you know, see some touring of it and get it finished for the summer. And somebody asked me the question, you know, well, that's great, except is it going to be, you know, a hangout for vagrants, homeless? Is there going to be, you know, criminal activity, whatever? And my answer to them was, did you notice where it's located? Right, Mike?
Yeah, it's right across the street. And I got to be honest with you, I'm kind of looking forward to the completion of that and watching the people over there using it, because it's impressive to watch. You've got the ones that know exactly what they're doing, that are very safe and been doing it a long time, doing tricks on the in parks like that. So I got to tell you, coming out of the parking lot that on Jackson Street, we're going to be watching and may have to pull over and see what's going on for a few minutes. But we're looking forward to that opening and think it's a great thing to have.
No, agreed. And I also like how you implied that maybe there's a McKay out there who's not in that first category you were talking about, being the expert capable of doing all the things, but, you know, might be trying some stuff and hopefully doesn't hurt himself. Last question for you. We always like to end on a kind of cop myth, or is it really like this in real life versus TV? I've recently been watching The Wire, a very, very good show. I had never watched it when it first came out. One of the things in that show that they talk about, and I've seen this in other shows as well, is particularly the homicide detectives, but they get assigned cases and then they clear those cases by, you know, finding a suspect, apprehending, making an arrest, bringing charges, all that kind of stuff. And they make a big deal about, you know, the clearance rate and the homicide detectives wanting to avoid the difficult, challenging cases because it's a lower clearance rate, and wanting to get the gimmies and the easy ones because that bumps up their rate a lot. Is there any truth to that in real life, the sort of manipulation of and fixation on the clearance rate for the homicide department?
Absolutely. You know, I did arson investigation for several years, and I know that, you know, if I didn't clear these cases, then, you know, there may be a problem. People look at you, you know, what's wrong with you? Why don't you clear these cases? And, you know, especially when you clear a big one, you want to kind of walk around with your chest stuck out. And but, you know, they all investigators, they help each other. It's a collaborative effort. And the main thing is that the cases at the Pensacola Police Department are solved as quickly as they can. And even if they're not quickly solved, they go into the cold case area. And as we've seen in the past, that we're able to solve cases from back in the 70s and 80s as well. So part of that is true.
Yeah, the awareness and the importance of clearance rate is true. I assume that the manipulation and the "don't give me that case, I can't clear it," that's the part that maybe is exaggerated for effect.
Yeah, and Andrew, if I could, I want to thank the community real quick for the support that we've had from the passing of K-9 Janice.
Oh yeah,
we've had a lot of people, a lot of feedback on social media. That K-9 was very special. They all are, but one thing special about Janice was the ability for him to go and take down a violent felon, and then just a few minutes later, able to walk through an elementary school and let the kids pet him. That's something that you don't see in every K-9. So certainly going to miss him, and we appreciate the public support.
Oh, no, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for reminding me of that. I appreciate it. And I know officers become very attached to these other officers, these K-9s, so thank you for the reminder. Mike Wood, he is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thanks for the good information, keeping us safe and helping us understand our community. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 548 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. By the way, in case you didn't catch the news yesterday, Three Mile Bridge, the northbound span. Westbound, man. It's an east-west bridge. Oh, my God. Shut up. Yes, even-numbered roads are east-west. Odd-numbered roads are north-south. What about 110? It's a spur off of 10. Come on, ask me another question. Anyway, the point is, in America, east-west, I feel like I should do this. This is kind of fun. You know, the highway system, the interstate system, starts at 10 and goes up to 90 from south to north. Like the east-west roads go 10 to 90 south to north, okay? When you get to the north, they're higher numbers. Same thing for the north-south numbers, right? It's, let's see, it's, I have to think about this for a second. It's five, really, all the way on the west coast and 95 on the east coast. So it goes up, you know, the odds are north and south. And the state road system the highway system is the exact reverse. So, like, for example, you have I-10 and Highway 98. Highways and interstates are the exact opposite in the numbering system. Anyway, the point is that people were, you know, it's not northbound, man. Okay, it is on a map. And that's what people know. Whenever Gracie does her traffic, she does it northbound and southbound because that's how people understand it. Anyway, the point is, three lanes are open on the northbound span. So the south is going to be a little bit still. They're working on the restriping of the lanes. But yesterday that opened, and it made me remember it because we're doing the interview with Mike Wood, and he had sat so many nights on that bridge. And also, we're going to learn how fast people are going to drive on this bridge, which we're all expecting not good numbers for that. 550 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors. You know, maybe here's where you're at. You're trying to decide which new car to buy or whether to buy a new car. Okay, that's why you go to Frontier. Go look at their cars that are 1 or 2 years old that are in basically brand new condition because they stand by the quality of their cars. That's what they do. They only sell A quality cars. And then you can avoid having to pay those thousands of dollars of depreciation that you get the first moment you drive that vehicle off the lot. You know, before the smell fades of the new car smell, that car is already worth thousands of dollars less than you paid for it. That's why you go to Frontier, because you get a car that's going to last just as long, that you get a year or two later with a few miles on it in great condition for a much better price. And you have great selection, 300 cars, trucks, vans on the lot at any given moment. You can test drive a bunch of them, and do test drive a bunch of them. Test drive five or six, not just one or two. Test drive a bunch. Test drive something outside of your range, like either the price range or maybe outside of what you think you're going to want, just so you see what's out there. Maybe that inspires a dream. Maybe you decide, that's why I don't want a Jeep. I mean, whatever. The point is, Frontier is the great place to go buy that next quality used vehicle. Right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that is Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry. Gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. They're on Creighton Road, right across from Tom Thumb. Emerald Coast Coins.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Did you know there are more than 30 million businesses in North America? Well, no, you probably didn't know that. I mean, who keeps track of things like that? Well, BBB does. And not only does BBB know how many businesses are out there, BBB knows the trustworthy businesses out there. And every month, we help 6 million people find them. And now you know. BBB, celebrating 100 years of advancing trust together. Go to BBB.org.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
They're always after me, Lucky Charms. Why's everyone always laugh when I say that? They are after me, Lucky Charms.
Oh, man. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And speaking of you two, which I have to tell you this conversation. I came in this morning. Gracie's wearing green. I'm wearing green. David's sort of wearing green. And I was talking to Gracie. And I said, you know, we're talking about bumper music for the day because it's all Irish music, obviously. So we got the Pogues, the Cranberries, you know, we got U2. And I said to her, I said, you know, are you a U2 fan? To which she said, I think I know one song. Is that what you said?
I hesitated.
Yeah, you weren't sure.
And you're like, so no.
Yeah, so that's a no.
I think I know that beautiful song.
Yeah, Beautiful Day, that's right. And I tried to explain to her this would be sort of like me saying, Beyonce, I think I've heard a song in, you know, in comparison. No, but there's actually a story here. Songs of Surrender, I mentioned this to you the other day. This is the U2 reimagining of 40 of their most popular songs. Instead of making them big top rock songs for the concert hall and jamming out, they redid them, rearranged them as more like, think MTV Unplugged back in the day, but even sometimes just rework some of the melodies and stuff. Oh my God, they're amazing. I only got to listen to about five of them last night before I was doing other things. But here, I'm just going to give you a sample, okay? And it gave me chills listening to these. They're so good. Oh man, like that's the style.
One man caught in a barbed wire fence, one man he resists. One boy washed up on an empty beach, One boy never will be kissed in the name of love.
Oh my God. Like, this is, you know, grab your favorite adult beverage, put an hour aside, and sit there and just enjoy the music. It's so good. Like, ridiculously good. Anyway, that's Songs of Surrender, the newest album that came out last night from U2. Again, a reworking of about 40 of their prior hits. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local. In love with U2. David, are you a U2 fan?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Oh,
I guess.
God, stop it. You're hurting me. Just say no. Just say, oh, yeah, they're pretty good. Yeah, they're
pretty
fine.
Good. They're all right. Mm. You know,
oh, it just hurts me. what's going on in the newsroom, David?
Well, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the U.S. banking system is sound and Americans should feel confident that their bank deposits are safe. She made that comment yesterday during testimony before a Senate committee. President Biden celebrating St. Patrick's Day today with Ireland's prime minister. He'll be joining Leo Varadkar for a series of holiday events. They'll be having breakfast, and it'll end at the White House, where Varadkar will present Biden with the traditional shamrock. And a lot of people's NCAA tournament brackets have been busted. Princeton pulled off an upset of second-seeded Arizona, and 13-seed Furman also advanced in the South after beating Virginia yesterday. And my brackets are already busted after your endorsement for SEMO. I had them winning the whole thing.
Yeah, right. I hope not. They didn't even make it out of the prior round. That's funny. Yeah, the president had Arizona to win it all. A lot of people did. I was just counting on Arizona to knock out Alabama, so that's all over for me. It's okay. It's not that bad, you know. I only had two of my final four get knocked out yesterday. You know, if your bracket lasts more than a day, there's something weird about you. I'll say it that way. 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3, 437-1620, 437-1620. So, you know, we do the Transgressors service coming up, you know, at 6:20 and then 8:20. If you're not familiar with that, that's where I pretend to be a woke pastor and I do a eulogy for things that get canceled this week. It's usually pretty entertaining. And what I always say is, first of all, you think I make the stories up. I never make the stories. I once in a while will exaggerate. I mean, I do exaggerate in them, but I once in a while will make something up that would get done by woke people. But typically, I just grab them from the news. And like yesterday, I'm writing my three stories for the Transgressors ceremony, and I kid you not, like four more, any of them would be gold for the segment, pop up in my news feed. Like, are you kidding me? Like, for example, okay, here's the headlines. I'm just giving you the headlines. I'm not even going to get into the story because I'll save it for next week or something. But here's one headline in the category I just put in my show prep as woke because, you know, there's plenty of them. Headline. Not that one. Loyola professor claims that organized pantries are rooted in racist and sexist social structures. Not even a joke. I mean, it is a joke, but I'm not making a joke. Like, this is a real news story about how this woman says that, you know, you're showing off your material wealth and your time available to organize things, and you're making people who can't afford to clean and cook and stock their pantries feel bad. Like, that's the premise. It's and it's sexist, too, because, you know, women who don't have to work. there's another one. You've got a state wrestles with its imagery. The sword looming over a Native American in the Massachusetts state symbol. County officials call for changes to insensitive New Jersey seal over the gun violence in their symbol. Astrophysics is sexist. Like, it's just, I can't keep up. I can't make fun of them as fast as they come up with actual crazy stories for me to make fun of. But oh well, we'll just keep doing it.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.